think our brother, the one service, I think that's really his song. And also the prayer. You know, we don't really consider it as being works of Satan. And I don't think they are works of Satan, because all of us experience of these different emotions in our lives. But I do think that God, I mean Satan, causes certain things that happen in our lives that might cause us to become so depressed, or might cause us to become ineffective as Christians in this world. No, I don't. All people who would notice it. What I really thought would notice it was the woman sitting next to you.
You're going to be glad I'm gone when I'm leaving. I've been picking on her a lot. This is one of the subjects that I guess I have the hardest time with, because I was stressed out and never knew it. And no one wants to admit that they're out of control, or perhaps they're not in control of their life. And that was me. Let me tell you the background about stress and why I decided to take some classes on stress and everything and learn more about stress. I was recuperating from open heart surgery. What was funny is I was the youngest guy there. I was 43 years old. I'm with all these older people, you know, and they're all in rehab, and here this young guy, I'm in rehab with them, you know. And I was skinny as a rail when that happened about my open heart surgery. And the old men say, "Why are you here?" I had a open heart surgery. Oh, you know, I explained to him why I'm there in rehab. But every day I would go in and I would compete against my own heart rate. I would try to push myself more and more. And so my therapist came to me. She said, "Rick, you are so stressed out." I said, "I am not. I don't get stressed." I said, "Oh, you're stressed." So I've never seen anybody like you who try to compete against their own heart rate. So that gives me an indication you're stressed out. She says, "I'm writing you a prescription. You're going to go to a class. It's a 6-week course on stress management." I said, "I don't want to do that." But I did. I kid you not, this is what the instructor said, and I really thought he was in cahoots with my therapist. He said, "You know when you're stressed out, when you compete against yourself." I said, "She told him." She had to, you know. Come find out, she never did tell him anything. And he was pointing out that when you compete against yourself, it's because you think you have to be better than everybody else, and including yourself. And therefore, you're stressed. After 6 weeks of going through this course, I had to admit, I was pretty stressed, but never, ever knew it. You may be in our audience, and you're probably thinking, "I really don't need this lesson, because I don't get stressed." And I said exactly the same thing. I don't get stressed. But you know what? After realizing, going through all the material, looking and evaluating myself, yeah, I do get stressed. And in fact, I was in a stressful situation. And looking back at certain things in my life, when I had my open heart surgery, we just moved to Chicago. So we're in a transitional move. I had 3 children, and my oldest son was a junior in high school, and he hated being in Chicago. He let us know that every single day that we ruined his life. And I was going before the board for my master's. I wrote my thesis, and I was going before the board the day after I had my heart attack. And looking back, I think there was a lot of stress in my life that I was not aware of. And I think it really contributed to a lot on my heart condition. I was really, truly stressed out. So we're going to talk about stress. But before we actually begin, I want to ask you guys a question. How many here feel like that they might be stressed? Now, if you don't want to raise your hand, you don't have to, but all right. I appreciate you guys, because you're honest with yourself, recognizing, hey, you might have this problem. My biggest problem is I couldn't identify with it. And I was telling David, I struggle with this topic because I would never admit it. And I think admitting to the fact that you might be stressed out, you have one up on a lot of us. Because you recognize that there might be a problem, and you're willing to work on this particular problem. When you focus on this lesson, we're going to look at, number one, what is stress? Okay, sometimes it's kind of hard to identify stress. You might say, well, isn't stress the same thing as worrying? Or maybe couldn't stress also be the same thing as depression? Or having fear? And we're going to look at some of the definitions. And then we're going to talk about how can I identify with stress? How can I manage stress in my life? And how can I avoid burnout? Anybody ever here in this auditorium ever felt burnout, maybe? You ever know anybody who was ever burnout on life? Yeah. That's difficult. And you don't realize you're burnt out until you're already in burnout. You know, now you're in a situation to recognize, hey, I got a problem because I'm just totally exhausted and stressed out in life. I know somebody right now at church. He's one of our deacons. That guy is so stressed. He's burnt out. He's about this far away of just quitting the Lord. He wanted to walk out on his wife and kids. He's an attorney. He wants to give up his practice because he is just totally stressed out. And I sat down with him before I came here to this meeting. I told him, when I get back, we're going to sit down and study together. We're going to talk about your situation. But I said, buddy, you're burnt out. He goes, I don't get burnt out. I said, no, you are burnt out. You're really burnt, you know. And I said, if you're not careful, you're just going to give everything up in your life that means the most to you. And so we got to be careful in learning how to avoid it. Defining stress. Well, let's look at worry. What is worry? Worry is a state of mind that teases and torments ourselves. This is one aspect that we're going to learn come Sunday morning is sin. God made it very clear he does not want you to worry. He does not want me to worry. So out of all this series that we're looking at up front, worrying is sinful because God says don't do it. And if we do it, we're violating God's will. And I'll talk about that come Sunday morning. Anxiety. A lot of times we associate the fact that stress is filling anxiety in your life. But we're going to find it's not exactly the same thing as stress. Stress is pressure. It is outside, and I call it inside pressure, that actually makes physical demands on us. And sometimes these physical demands require so much on us that we really get to the point where we can't function properly. We cannot think reasonably. And what happens is that we end up making a mess of our lives because of the pressure that we put on ourselves. Now, let me make it very clear. The outside pressure and inside pressure comes from the same source. You're probably saying, how's that possible? How could one outside and one be inside and come from the same source? Because it comes from your mind. You see, we allow the outside to affect us mentally, and we allow the inside pressure to affect us mentally. And it goes back to how your attitude is toward things of life and your life within yourself. So keep that in mind. Are they the same? No. They're not the same. But are they linked together? Absolutely. Worrying can cause us to be totally stressed out. Or anxiety can cause us to be stressed out. But they're not the same thing. It's like a cause and effect situation. These things cause it, and the effect is I'm stressed. So, yeah, they are all related, but they're not exactly the same thing. Stress can cause us to worry and, guess what, to turn. It can cause us to feel anxious and we become filled with anxiety. But it's like a vicious cycle because if I worry, guess what, it causes stress. If I feel anxiety in my life, guess what, I feel stressed because I'm putting pressure on myself. And as one psychiatrist told me, he said, Rick, it's like a vicious cycle and it's hard to get off that cycle because one relates to the other, and one calls the other, and the result is that, guess what? When you're stressed, you feel worried and anxious, but yet those particular feelings cause you to be stressed. And you're probably thinking, man, that's confusing, right? Welcome to the real world. It is confusing. It's not as simple as we might think. When we talk about these subjects, they're not that easy. Sometimes they're very complex. And what I try to do, I try to simplify the complexity of the whole thing the best way I know how. Which one's simple? We're worrying. There's no doubt. We know it's simple because God says, do not do it. Right? And Matthew chapter 6, verse 28 says, for this reason I say unto you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor your body or as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? You know whom Jesus was addressing here? He was addressing poor people who probably had no idea where their next meal is going to come from. And yet it's easy for the Lord to stand up to these people who are starving and trying to find food on a daily basis just to feed their family. Some have to go to begging for money or begging for food. And Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what you're clothed with. Well, wait a minute, Lord, that's easier said than done. You're God. You can make food, you know, stones into bread if you want. So, why did Jesus address that situation? Well, he's trying to teach them a lesson, and that is put more faith in God. Learn to turn to your Heavenly Father who made you, who knows you better than anybody else. And if you can put your trust in God, guess what? He can ease the anxiety of your life and the worries of this world, and you put it on his shoulders. You know, I've learned something a long time ago in doing personal work. I had a very difficult time when people rejected truth. I realized they're not rejecting me, but they're rejecting God. I understand that point. But it still wasn't very easy when I would sit down and study with someone personally, and they just look in the eye and say, you know what, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm not going to do it. That's hard to take. Rejection's hard to take. But I also learned this much. If God gets the glory, then God gets the blame. In other words, I put it on God's shoulders when people reject the truth. And I have to rely upon God more so that way he can ease up my anxiety about a person not obeying the gospel. The same thing is true with our lives. We have to turn more to God and let God help us. Now, all these things, they're not very clear. I don't know why, but usually they come out a little bit clearer. Let's take a round peg, or square peg in a round hole. Why is that stressful? Yeah, it doesn't work. They just don't jive together. And so when you try to take this square peg and put it into the round hole, it just doesn't fit. And it's frustrating. Why? Because you're trying to make it fit, and it doesn't. And the same thing is true with all these things when we look up here. They're stressful events because they just don't fit in with our lives. How many of you have ever been in a car accident? How do you usually feel when you hit somebody or somebody hits you? Do you become anxious a little bit? Your heart starts pumping, palms get sweaty, you know? And it becomes a very stressful moment. Why? Because it's something that's affecting you that normally does not affect you. And that's what stress does to us. It affects us. All of these make events stressful in our lives. And that's how simple you can put it. Their parts just do not work together. And that's important when we have to learn. Stress in any of our lives. When we experience stress, we have to learn to identify with that stress, and we have to learn to identify what is causing us to feel stressed out. Now, you're probably saying, Rick, how is that possible if you don't even know you're stressed out? That's where people help you. You have to rely upon other people with this one. Because if you're like me, and you didn't feel stressed, and you didn't know you were stressed, well, guess what? You're not going to work on yourself because you don't realize you have the problem. But somebody has to help you with that problem. And so I would tell you personally, I know I'm going to give you an evaluation that's in the book, and you can go through this evaluation sheet. I would highly recommend for you to do it. It helped me when I was going through my classes. I asked permission to use a lot of this material I'm using now in the classes I was going through. But I was so grateful to my therapist because she helped me to identify the fact I needed help. And I would highly recommend that you do the same thing. What do we do with these great demands that come upon us? They simply upset our body's equilibrium. And that's really what life is all about, a balance. Well, after my open heart surgery, I decided to take Tai Chi. And I had this little Chinese woman who was a master in the arts of Tai Chi. And I taught one of my friends who's a police officer, so he's a member of the church. You got to know Don. Don is 6'7", kind of big guy. And I don't know why, but him and I hit it off from day one, I guess because I was with the police department, and he became my best bud. And he always made me laugh, you know, all the time. I just laughed about everything. I talked him in with me going to a Tai Chi class, and we started taking Tai Chi. Now, you got to visualize this big old guy. And he's up there doing the Tai Chi and all this stuff, you know. And I crack up. Every time I see him, I start laughing so hard, I couldn't even do my routine because I'm laughing so hard. And she always talked about the ball. And what the ball was a balance. You see, what Tai Chi is all about is to balance your life of your mind and your body together. You know, there's some truth to that. We need a balance. We need to have a balance mentally, emotionally, psychologically, physically. And that's where God steps in. If you don't have God in your life, I don't know how people can have a balance. But God gives us the opportunity to have that balance. And he helps us to deal with the stressful events that's happened to us. Stress can be divided into two major points. Physical stress and psychological stress. Both have the same result. And that is, it puts us out of equilibrium. Both have the same result because it puts pressure on us. And one could be greater than the other. I really believe that psychological stress is worse than physical stress. And I'll tell you why. Because physical stress sometimes is easy to identify. I get into an accident, I'm stressed out. I fall and hurt my knee, I'm stressed out. But psychological stress is more difficult to determine because it's here. And you're not maybe realizing that you're stressed out. All right, physical stress. We find that physical stress is created by physical demands. These are demands that are made on our bodies. It might be demands from our work, ourselves. It may be from our relatives, whatever it may be. These are certain demands that are made upon us. And we call them physical stress. The three stress situations of life, type A. This stress is foreseeable and avoidable. You can see this coming. And it's easy to identify because you know why? You put yourself in the situation. You know my big friend Don, I was talking about, never been on a roller coaster in his life. We went up to Great America, and I talked him in going on a roller coaster. Well, he says, and he goes, I know I shouldn't do this, because I'm going to regret it, but he said, I'll go with you. He cracked me up. He sat down, and he grabbed a hold of that bar, and he would not move. And he didn't say a whole word during the whole ride. I didn't know if he was still alive. I said, Don, talk to me. Never talked. He's frozen, you know. And I was cracking up over it. He said, why do you do this to me? I said, I didn't do it. You didn't have to go. But see, what happened was, if Don knew that that was going to be stressful, he didn't have to do it. So listen to me. If you know that something is going to be stressful on you, don't do it. No matter who talks into it. Just don't do it. But sometimes we put ourselves in this situation. Right? And we know it. And so that could be avoidable, number one. You don't have to do it if you know it's going to stress you out. I was telling somebody for lunch, I had a ghost pepper. You know, I like habanero peppers. So this guy told me that ghost peppers are a lot like habanero peppers. Don't worry about it. Not that hot. Clean the thing. Put it in my mouth. Boy, it's a totally different than habanero pepper. Well, I do that all the time sometimes now. I'll grab a ghost pepper and eat it, and I know it. I shouldn't do it. So Don't put you in situations, yourself in situations, that you know are stressful. Because if you do, it's going to stress you out. So, you can avoid that situation. That's not a problem. All right? I think Adam and Eve is a good example. God told Adam and Eve, don't eat the fruit. He said, if you eat this fruit, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to die. I believe they die physically and also spiritually. And they had to take, you know, God took the tree of life out of the Garden of Eden. Well, they knew it. They knew that God said, don't do it. Guess what? They did it anyway. They put them in a situation. And guess what? Well, now they're really stressed. Because why? Well, because now they commit sin. And now they're separated from God. Now they're kicked out of the garden. They don't have access to the tree of life. And all of this could have been avoided if they simply would obey God. And what I'm trying to tell you is this. If you know that you're putting yourself in a stressful situation, don't do it. Because you're stressing yourself out. And there's no sense of putting your body through that. Type B. It's stressful situations that come from demands which are neither foreseeable nor avoidable. In other words, these fall into certain categories that are beyond our control. These are ones you don't see coming. And I think a lot of times when I think about Joseph, looking back in his life, he says, oh, I can see the providence of God. All this happened to me. What happened to Joseph? Can someone tell me just quickly what happened to Joseph? All right. Was it his fault? No. What else happened to him? Was he guilty? What happened to him? Going to prison. What else happened to him? Pardon me? Yeah. But what did Joseph do in each situation, I think, is really important for us. When he was thrown into the pit and sold into slavery, did he become bitter? No. He became number one in Pharaoh's, you know, in the potter's home. What happened to him when he was thrown into prison? Did he become bitter and sulk and poor me? You know, now I'm in prison. I'm probably going to rot here forever. Or what did he do? Made the best of it. Made the best of the situation. But see, he didn't foresee this coming. He had no control over it. And the same thing can happen to us in our lives when it comes to stressful events. I had no idea Monday morning when I got up after running 4 miles, doing Tai Bo, putting up a fence, that I was going to have a heart attack that day. I had no clue. Home Depot gave me one too many fences, pieces of fence. I thought, well, I'm going to take it home. I'm going to take it back. I'm honest. I'm not going to keep it. I got into my truck, put the fence in the back end, went over to Home Depot. On the way home to, back to Home Depot, I started having pressure on my chest. I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was something serious. So I drove myself to the hospital. And I collapsed in the hospital. As soon as I went into the door, I was out. Next thing I know, I'm by my wife. She's by my side. And the doctor says, guess what? You're going to have a quadruple bypass. And I'm not saying tomorrow. He says, now you need one. I'm like, whoa, okay. You know, I had no clue. Now, I was put in a situation. It was beyond my control. I had no clue, no idea. And see, it's the same thing true when you think about Joseph's situation. These are things that you cannot foresee. But how you handle them tells a lot about your character. You can allow them to become so stressful that you begin to worry so much. When I was going through the heart attack, trying to get to the hospital, I kept thinking, I'm ready to go. I was stressed because I was a child of God. And I'm ready to face death. The only thing I worried about was my wife and my kids. And I wanted so bad to find a pen and paper and write down, you know, it's kind of hard now to think about it. But I wanted to write down, I love you, you know, love my kids, and I'll see you in heaven someday. I thought about that, but I didn't have a pen and paper. And it was just kind of like my chest was really, really hurting. And I didn't know if I was going to make it anyway. But these are unforeseeable things. And you can make the best out of them by not dwelling on these events so they don't stress you out. Think of the positive things, not the event that you're going through. If I learned anything from Joseph, I learned this much. Don't dwell on your circumstances, because you can't always change your circumstances. But dwell on the positive that comes out of that circumstance. What's a positive thing if I would have died in that truck that day? Going to heaven. That's a positive thing. And I try to dwell on that, that helped me cope with that situation. Paul is a good example. Paul in prison. What did Paul do when he was in prison? First of all, why was Paul in prison? Okay, that's true. That's one of the major events. But what else? Who put him in prison? Well, eventually the Romans did, but it was the Jews, remember? They put him in trial, then he had to go before the courts and go before the governor, and then he ends up in Rome. But what did Paul do when he was in Rome? Did he dwell upon his situation? Yeah, he made the best of it. And when you're going through an event, it can be stressful, or you can make the best of that event. And that's what you have to keep thinking about. What's the best thing coming out of this situation? And that will help you cope with stress. Now, type C stress is foreseeable, but not, listen to this, avoidable. You can see it coming, but you know what? You really can't do a whole lot about it. The most damaging stress comes from threats that cannot be acted upon because they exist only in our imaginations. And that's important. Some of our imagination, the worst in the situation, we worry, which creates more stress, and imagine fears in our lives. These are situations, for instance, I knew this was coming. There was a truck. I was in a gospel meeting going back home on Friday night, and I saw this truck, and I could see he was not going to stop. I knew I was going to get hit, and I did. He towed out my car. But he was okay, and I was okay. But when he hit me, I could see it coming, and I thought, man, I hope I don't die in this. I didn't think of anything like that. You know what I thought about? I hope he's okay. I hope he doesn't have a heart attack or something, why he couldn't stop. I was worried about him more than I was worried about me. And because of that, I saw the event happening, and I couldn't avoid it. But see, it didn't become very stressful to me. Why? Anybody? Why was it not such a stressful event for me? Bingo. I focused on him. I was hoping he was okay. You know, because I went through a heart attack while I was in the truck, and I thought maybe he's having a heart attack. And that's why he couldn't stop. It wasn't the reason why. But I thought that. But see, when I didn't focus on myself, I was okay. And Paul tells the same thing. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Read verses 13 to 14. I'll tell you what, I'll do it because I don't want to wait for someone to do it. I want to get through this material on time so that way we're not here all afternoon. But in 1 Corinthians, I want you to notice the Apostle Paul. I love this statement that he makes. And let's look at verses 13 and 14. I'm sorry, 10th chapter, 13, 14. He said, no temptation is overtaking you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. You know, one of the things we have to realize, I don't care what happens in your life and what temptation you go through, God says, not something you cannot handle. You can handle anything that comes your way. You can handle any stressful event if you want to. God promised us that. He would never put anything upon us that we are not able to bear. I could bear the heart attack. I could bear the death of my father. I may not like it, don't want to do it, but I could bear it. And please keep that in mind. In any stressful event that you go through, you can bear it. It's not beyond your control. It's not the end of your world unless you make it that way. So you are in total control. You remember I talked about external, internal pressure? But where does it all come from? Mind. It's how you look at the situations and events that you're in. No matter what, whether internal or external. Is temptation stressful? Yes, it is. When you're being tempted, perhaps maybe to cheat on your wife or your husband, when you're being tempted maybe to lie because of a situation at work, these are temptations, and they're stressful. But you have to learn to do the right thing and don't dwell on it. My wife is a good example. My wife will not lie for nobody. I mean, if I had one word, and I always tell her this, if I had one word to describe my wife, it's honesty. I've never seen her dishonest in my whole life. She is such an honest individual. She's so honest to the fault. You know, I'm talking sense. If she walked out and saw that they didn't charge her 2 cents more, she'll go back and give them 2 cents. Me, I'd say, oh, that's just 2 cents, walk away. That's not Debbie. She's a really honest person. But she doesn't let anything pressure that way. She's so honest to the point that she just enjoys life that way. And I'm impressed with that. But outside pressure can be an inside pressure as well when we think about the stress that we're going through and the temptation that we allow ourselves to get caught up in. And you allow yourself to get caught up in temptation, guess what's going to happen? It's going to stress you out. And you can't allow that to happen. What is idolatry? Anybody? Paul said in verse 14, not to dwell on idolatry, not allow it. What's idolatry? Yes, that's right. Coveting. Anything we put ahead of God is considered idolatry. Always put your faith in God, and I promise you, you'll never have to worry about those stressful events. Focus on God and focus on others, and you won't have to worry about these stressful events. I promise you that much. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, the Apostle Paul gives us a teaching. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look at verses 7 through 9. And I'm going to ask David to read that while I get a sip of water. Can you do that for me, David?
Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, which is called the messenger of Satan, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, and that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
All right, what was Paul going through at this point in time? What was the stressful situation he was in? Yeah. We don't know what it was. Some think it was his eyesight because he had poor eyesight. Others thought he was contemptible in his speech. Maybe he had a speech impediment. I don't know what it was, but it bothered him so much that he begged God 3 times, please take it away. And God said, no. He said, I want you to cope with it. I have learned when I have physical disabilities, right now with my heart, my knee, a few things, I have learned to rely upon God more. Christopher Reeves is a good example. He relied upon his wife, as you were telling me earlier, about the relationship. He recognized he had something to live for, even though he didn't really have much to give his wife, but yet he had something to live for because of her. God did not remove the thorn, but at the same time, we find that he was in a stressful situation, and God says you can learn to deal with it, or you can allow it to get the best out of you. And that's really true in all stressful events. Psychological stress. There are 4 basic types of psychological stress factors. Pressure. This will be internal and external demands that we put on ourselves maybe, or other people put on us. Frustration and conflict. Now, I'm not going to take time to read all of this, but James chapter 4, verse 1 says, where does conflict come from? James chapter 4, verse 1. Within you. Your own desires. So we learn right off the bat where the psychological conflicts come from. Is from our own selves. Anxiety and fear is the basic emotional response to being threatened. The results of psychological stress, well, what we find here, it leaves us more depressed. If you don't deal with the situation, it's going to get the best of you and you're going to get depressed. Paul could have dwelt on the situation, Joseph could have dwelt in a situation, or he could make the best of it. And you have to make the best of it. I always tell people this much. If I have my mind, I can do anything. Even if I don't have a body, I'm okay because I have my mind. I want my mind rather than my body, to be honest with you, just like Christopher Reeves did. If you can have your mind and you can actually work on your attitude, guess what? You can handle any event that comes in your life, any stressful event whatsoever. It leaves you with the perception of the world and others, which is a more what we call negative. In other words, when we look at the world, we can see there's so much negative attitudes here. And you know why they're negative? Because they have the wrong attitude toward life and themselves and toward God. And that's why people get all stressed out where they cannot handle certain situations in life. Because they focus on the wrong people. They focus on themselves instead of God and others. Stress management. Your goal is not to eliminate stress. Because I'll tell you, you can't get rid of stress. You live in a world that's going to stress you out if you let it. But you have to learn how to manage your stress. That's the key. And that's what I've been talking about all day today. This afternoon, you have to learn to manage your stress because you can't always eliminate stress. It's impossible. And so learn how to manage stress. That's important. Remember, whatever is stressful to the one individual, it may not be stressful to the other individual. Keep that in mind. What you might feel like is stressful, it may not be stressful to you or to someone else. And so keep that in mind about when it comes to stress. Also remember that stress is something that you can manage. Now, what causes stress? Stress in life can be caused with anything that happens. Number one, annoys you, threatens you, scares you, worries you, hurries you, frustrates you, angers you, challenges you, embarrasses you, reduces or threatens your self-image. Now, what does all these things have in common? Yeah. You. It all has you in common. What does that tell you about stress? You. You created it. You can manage it. See, stress is created by us, our minds. And we can learn how to control it. Whatever it may be. Whatever event happens. Whether psychological or external, internal. How does one know that he's stressed? Well, let me give you just some symptoms that might help you as it helped me. Indecision making. You ever have a hard time making a decision? Anybody? My wife is just like her dad. Now, she looks like her mama, but she acts like her daddy. She cannot make decisions. Oh, it grinds me to no end. I would ask her to do something or ask her to make a decision or something, and she'll sit there and wait and wait. Her father was that way. She wanted me to go and ask her father that I could marry her, right? I knew her for a week, proposed to her. By the end of the week, she said yes. Now I had to go and talk to her parents. So I went to her dad, and I said, look, I said, I want to marry Daddy. He just sat there, looked down. And I waited about 10 minutes. I said, well, whether you like it or not, I want to marry your daughter. And Debbie said, oh, no! You know, that's the wrong thing to say. But she's just like her dad. You know what the kids will do? They come and ask me if they can do something. And I said, go ask your mom. They said, Dad, come on. I said, you're right. I'll tell you what you could do. Forget about mom. Because that's just the way she is. She takes a long time to make decisions. Well, if you can't make decisions, you might be stressed out when you don't have the capability of making decisions and the right decisions. Number two, do you find yourself tending to daydream? Fantasize about what? Getting away from it all? I did. I love water. I live on the water so much. I would love to have a houseboat. But I'm dreaming because I know my wife will never go for that. But, you know, when you're stressed out, sometimes all you feel like doing is just to get away and daydream. Have a fantasy world. Do you worry about losing your job, being laid off, retirement, or getting sick or dying? I'll tell you, that was one symptom that really got to me. I didn't know I was stressed out until they went through these symptoms with me and said, do you have any symptoms? Now, in your book, I give you a lot of symptoms. You can go through them. This is one area that really hit me. I always worried about losing my job. I'm a preacher. I thought, man, if I'm going to be laid up for several weeks, I wonder if they're going to pay me. You know, it's not like a corporation. I thought, I wonder if they're going to go ahead and support me with a salary. You know, all these things went in my mind. And that's the first time it hit me. Rick, you are really stressed. You're really worried about your situation. And that helped me more than anything else. I realized at that point, you know what? If the worst comes to the worst and they don't support me, no big deal. I have some savings. If I have to cash into my IRA, whatever I'll do, I'll make it. I'm not going to worry about it. Of course, they supported me, and that was no problem. But see, that was all in my mind. And I was creating this stressful event in my mind that didn't even happen. That's like paying a debt you don't owe. And I had it all figured out. I'm going to lose my job. They're not going to support me while I'm recuperating from open heart surgery. It was just all in my mind. So that helped me a lot. Do you find your thoughts trailing off when you're talking or writing? Anybody ever experienced that? Anybody? Do you experience sudden outbursts of temper? We talked about anger last night. These are people, when you're stressed out, you get angry really quick because you're stressed out and you lash out at people. And if you find yourself really getting angry a lot of times, probably you are stressed out. Do you forget appointments, dates, and deadlines often? Anybody experience that? That's another sign that you are stressed out. Do you find yourself brooding over events and issues and not just major ones? You ever find that? That I did. That helped me. Do you increasingly have feelings of inadequacy that have no apparent basis? I have my son. He is a great salesman. And he's in marketing. He does a super job. But he always puts stress on himself because he's always trying to compete against himself. And what happens a lot of times, he increases his feelings of inadequacy. He thinks he's not doing enough for the company. And I do that. He gets it from me. I feel the same way about the church. If I don't have Bible studies every single night, if I don't see people converted, I'm not doing my job. And that's how I really feel. And I still feel that way to this day, although I don't feel stressed now. Because I understand my situation and my nature. But that inadequacy does haunt you when you're stressed. And then if you experience six of these symptoms on a regular basis, more than likely you are stressed. Six out of these symptoms on a regular basis. Where does most of your stress come from? From your own mind. That's stress. Stress is something that you put upon yourself. It's a pressure that you put on yourself because you allow these events to become stressful in your life. You know what? Nobody can make you stressed but yourself. You know who said that? Abraham Lincoln. He made a famous statement to the Congress when they were going through the war and everybody is so stressed out. He stood before them all and said, you know what, guys? You stress yourself out. He said, nobody can stress yourself except you. To stress you out but yourself. And that's really what God teaches us throughout all the Bible. We have the capability to handle anything that comes our way. But it's us that puts the stress upon us. And we put pressure upon us. Abraham had to learn upon God. What did Abraham do? God said, you know what? Sarah's going to have a son. You're going to have a son. I don't want him going through Ishmael, but you'll have your own son. And what happened? Did he rely upon God? No. He went to Hagar, had Ishmael. He didn't want to rely upon God. And he put all this pressure on himself. What is Jesus telling us to do? He says, but immediately he spoke to them saying, take heart, It is I have no fear. That's important. We got to have more faith on God. And do not worry. Now, quickly, and the lesson will be yours, we're looking about burnout. Oh, by the way, this is so important. Who takes the brunt of the stress of a person's life? Every single person we know. It's not just you. I hate when I hear people say, well, if I want to do this, it's me. I'm only hurting myself. No, you're not. You're hurting with everyone around you. They take the brunt of your stress. And that's really true when it came to my own personal life. All right, there are four areas of stress. Body concerns, it's in your book. These are appearances. Let me tell you about adolescents and teenagers. They stress out in their appearances. Am I correct? Absolutely. When you're a teenager, what do you worry about? Oh, I got a pimple. I can't go to school with a pimple. You know, got to make sure everything's just right. Clothes are just right. And people stress themselves out bodily because they are concerned about the way they look. I was reading about Joan Rivers. I like reading biographies. I love biographies. I read a lot of biographies. And I read about Joan Rivers. You know, she had 17 plastic surgeries. 17. And she always looked at herself as ugly. But you know why? Because when she was little, she was told she was ugly. She was ugly out of all the kids. She was the ugliest one. And she went through life believing that she was ugly. And so she tried to correct that by having plastic surgeries over and over and over again. She was concerned and it stressed her out because of her physical looks. Hey, you know what? I am who I am. I don't want to be heavy, so I'm trying to do something about it. But I'm sorry, I got gray hair and I'm ugly. And I know it. I'm short, can't do anything about it. I'll learn to cope with that. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not going to stress myself out just because I'm short or because I have gray hair and I'm getting old and people mind it. Career concerns. What do you want to be when you grow up? I was asked that question just the other day because I don't know what I want to do when I grow up. I've been preaching for 2 years and I still want to do something else, I think. It isn't who he wants to be, but how he wants to be, but what. And that's the importance. Family concerns. Again, we talked about that earlier. Personal concerns, our desires. You got to be careful about what you perceive, how things ought to be. Remember we talked about that? We talked about it last night. Your own personal desires. Because what your desires determines the amount of stress you're going to experience. And you learn how to control your desires. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 21. I want to know, how do you guys feel about this passage? Just look at the passage and read it. In fact, anyone read it. We're really close out of time, and I'm going to give a couple more things, and we're going to open up for questions.
Then Peter, turning around, and saw the disciples whom Jesus loved, followed, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me.
How do you feel about the passage? Think about it for a minute. Why would Peter ask that question? Yes. Now, we don't normally associate it in that passage that Peter is jealous, but when the Lord said, you know, this guy who's on my breast, he's actually close. John was a very close friend of Jesus. We know that. But so was Peter. But Peter felt like he was being neglected. And therefore, God turns to him and says, Peter, if I want John to live forever, he'll do it. That's not your concern. Don't worry about it. Don't stress yourself out of it. Because you know why? You're going to die for me anyway. Wow. So, how you feel about this passage shows that we need not to over-concern ourselves with things that are beyond our control. All right. Our stress today, let's go on a little bit faster and go overcoming burnout. How does stress burnout relate to each other? Number one, definition of burnout. To wear oneself or to excessively strive to reach some unrealistic expectation imposed by oneself or by the values of society. quickly, looking at some of these passages, it brings about the vision of heat and fire and anger. If you turn back to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, we find, he says, don't compare yourself with others and don't compare yourself with yourself. Why? Because you know why? If you compare yourself to other people, they become the standard. If you compare yourself with yourself, you become the standard. Compare yourself to God. He's the standard. And you know what we do? We put unnecessary stress on us when we start comparing ourselves to other people. Or we put stress on ourselves comparing ourselves to ourselves. Out means, meaning that it is nothing less. So when you have burnt out, that means that you have heat and you have nothing left. Don't burn yourself out. What are ashes? Yeah, I shouldn't have known that. Are you an engineer? But is there anything left of that substance? Just ashes. No really substance to it because it burned out. And that's what burnout does to us. It leaves us empty. There's nothing there if you don't watch it and care for yourself. Five areas. They're physical, intellectual, emotional, and social that you have to be careful about burnout. And unfortunately, when a person is experiencing burnout, he or she often does not want to burden anyone else with their problems. And that's my friend in a nutshell who's an attorney who's burnout right now. He doesn't want to feel like he's a burden on anybody else. All right, I'm going to go ahead and close. The rest is in your book, and I want you to ask some questions. We've got about 5 minutes, so are there any questions? Anybody? How many here that might feel like you might be experiencing maybe stress in your life? Anybody? Yeah, me. But do you feel like you're burnt out? There's a difference. If you allow yourself to continue feeling stressful, eventually you will be burnt out. You've got to learn to deal with it. And always remember this, stress begins with you. And if you create it, you can control it, just like anger. You know what I learned about this whole series? All these things that we're talking about are created by us. We create it in our minds. Worry, fear, stress, or happiness, low self-esteem, it's all here. And God tells us, guess what? Quit focusing on ourselves and start focusing on Him and other people, and you'll be a lot happier. Any other questions? Go ahead. It's a vicious cycle, and this is what explained to me by a psychologist one time. And he was a friend of mine. I went to him for help when I was preparing a lot of this material. He said, Rick, anxiety and worry causes stress or pressure in your life because you worry and you're putting pressure on yourself. But when you stress yourself out putting pressure, it causes anxiety and worry. I said, okay, that would make sense to me. That's what we call circular reasoning, you know. I said, I can't comprehend that. He said, let's put it a different way. Quit stressing yourself out because quit worrying. And if you quit worrying, guess what? You won't have stress. Okay, I know you're going to say anger. But anger is something, again, you create within yourself. Remember we talked about anger? We allow people to make us angry? No, we make ourselves angry. We have to change our attitude. And we cannot think of anger. Now, anger is not bad. If I want to use anger in a good way, I'm going to use it in a good way. But if it becomes uncontrollable anger, that's when it becomes sinful and wrong. So again, it's like a vicious cycle. And what he tells you, the only thing you do to break that cycle is stop doing one or all three of them. You stop worrying, you stop being angry, and you won't stress yourself out. Keep in mind, stress means pressure. You put pressure on yourself because maybe you are worrying or because of certain events that happen in your life. But they're always connected, yeah. Pretty much so. Yeah, when I think about anger, the comment you just made about anger, putting us in the pressure, the stress itself, the only way that anger becomes stressful if it's not controlled anger. And you know why? It's because the results of that uncontrolled anger. Yeah. Let's take Balaam. Why was Balaam so stressed out? Because he was angry at the donkey because it wasn't going where he was supposed to be going. And then God opened his eyes and made him realize, hey, the reason why is because I was going to kill you, man. If you were to continue on, you better thank that donkey because you would have been dead. And so what happened is that he put this pressure on him because he was angry. He was out of control. Out of control anger causes us to be stressful because we put this pressure on us because of the results of that out of control anger. It's the result of it, not because of the anger itself. Hey, we got a couple minutes. Are you stressed? Are you all stressed out about it? I give you, I think, in a book, several things that you can do to help you not only identify with stress, but how to overcome stress. But the main thing is, keep in mind, all of this is because of you. You create it, and you create this pressure upon you that you don't need to do. You can either work and look at the good of the situation or avoid the situation, but you don't have to put pressure on you. That's what I learned from Paul. That's what I learned from Joseph. They could have been all stressed out because of their circumstances, but they weren't. Oh, you got to lower your expectations no matter what to avoid all of it. Yeah, you have to lower. Humble yourself. That's the key. Yes. Yeah, but the right kind of pressure. I don't think it's stressful pressure. Stress is pressure. Well, when you're uncomfortable, you're immature, you need to grow, and you recognize the fact that you need to grow, especially in our spirituality. One of the things I put up there is the spiritual. You got lack of faith and indifference. That would do that to us. Stress, and we allow stress and the pressure on us sometimes, we will lose our faith, like my friend right now who's about ready to quit going to church completely and quit being a deacon. He is losing his faith. And the reason why he's losing his faith, he is so stressed out. He has to learn how to deal with that pressure, so therefore he will not continue in that path he's going. And we can never be comfortable with our spirituality because we know we have room to grow. We'll never achieve perfection like Jesus, but we strive for it. So I think it's a different type of pressure what you're talking about. It's not so much a pressure, but it's an attitude. I want to grow and be more like Jesus every day, and that attitude gives me the ability to learn and grow. But it's not a pressure that I'm going to force myself to, that I feel like I'm in anxiety unless I become more like Jesus. God doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't want us to have pressure to say, oh, by the way, I want you to be like my son, but I want you to feel the pressure in doing it. No. Then what fun would it be to grow and be more like Jesus? It's an attitude, I would say, more than it is stress. But I never thought about that. I probably didn't answer your question on that. Yes, ma'am. Satan? You better believe it. There's just so many things out there that's negative, so many things, obstacles gets in our way, and you're right, Satan's behind it all. Sin, temptation. And see, how we handle these things tells a lot about our character and about our faith in God. And that again, if you notice every one of these things we're talking about, it all comes from you. Your mind. You created it. And we have to learn to deal with it. Or it can get the best of us. You can't avoid it. You can't avoid stress. You can't avoid situation in your life that you're not going to get angry, because we all get angry. It's how we deal with that anger and control it. Yeah, very good. Anybody else? Yes.
I think about stress and worry in Matthew chapter 6. You already touched about 25 and 24. It was the tail end of that. I think we need to concentrate on what Jesus talks about, priorities. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. We have our priorities right. And we can let go of a lot of these things that add stress to our lives when we live in the line of God.
Yeah, worrying is one of those things that we know definitely the Bible says it's wrong to do. But how do we cope with that, and how we deal with worry is what we're going to learn Sunday morning. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Two things really quick, and we'll go ahead and leave a song. I don't know how people in the world do it without God's people and without God in their life. Because, honestly, it's so easy in this world to get down, get discouraged, get stressful, and commit suicide. What God has been able to do with each and every one of us through His will, give us the coping mechanism and how to handle these things in life. But God has given us a unique family that can help us and help each other to cope with these things. And if you don't have God in your life, and if you don't have God's family as part of your family, then you're going to be accessible to a lot of these things, and you'll never be happy. You won't achieve happiness if you're stressed, worried, if you're confused, if you don't have love of God in your life. You're just not going to be happy. And we're going to talk about that in the pillars of happiness. All right, I guess we better close. We better leave them singing.